Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Church. Oh, come on now. Somebody give it a shout, right? Man, this feels right. This just feels right. The only thing that doesn't feel right is this every other seat thing. Got to get used to that, right? But hey, we're having church, right? Because all across America, things look really crazy. And some places are having church, some places aren't. But man, it is great to be in my favorite church in the whole wide world this morning. And yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I was told right before I walked out of my hotel room this morning to bring my greetings to you from Mamam Chungaji. Her mind is on you today. And she wanted me to tell you that she misses you and she loves you. And God has been very good to our family in the last 7 months. Our transition has not been an easy transition. If I'm real transparent quickly this morning, because I don't want to take time away from the Word, if I'm real transparent, we have experienced the darkest of days and the brightest of days. And it has been what seems like a 10-year journey in 7 months. But God is faithful. Somebody say amen. Our God is faithful. He's a faithful God with a faithful plan. And we may not always understand it. We may not always like it. Somebody say amen. And but it's always right, and it's always best. And so the family is good. The kids are good. God has been faithful to our children. They're growing older, faster than ever before. 2 weeks from now, I'll have 2 kids in college. Somebody help me. The youngest one is now bigger and taller than Dad. It's crazy how things change in 7 months. I mean, Barrett's massive. And we praise God. He's doing very well. For those of you that have been praying for our family, thank you. God is doing a wonderful work. And for that, we are grateful. There is no greater honor than being a father. And when you see God work in the lives of your children, it's a good thing. And there's no too high a price to pay to make sure your family is good. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to take them out. We're going to talk about something that God's been speaking to me for the last several weeks. We're going to talk about revival this morning. I said we're going to talk about revival this morning. If you turn to your Bibles in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to start there. You're going to have your hands ready this morning because we're going to look at a lot of Scripture today. How many of you know if you're going to preach, you better preach the Word? God's not interested in your ideas. God's got a message, and He's had it for years. And if we're going to preach, we need to preach the Word, not our Word. Somebody say amen. And all of you biblical preachers out there ought to be shouting right now. Because I am convinced that there's a lot of junk being preached from our church pulpits these days. That's not the Word of God. But it's the Word of man. And the Word of man never changed anybody's lives, but the Word of God transforms the lives of men and women. And so this morning we're going to preach the Word. Is that all right? You know, these are difficult times in the world that we live in. Obviously, Tanzania is in a bit of a bubble. When you look at the global perspective, because as you know, And President Magufuli has proclaimed, Corona does not live in Tanzania. All right. Nonetheless, Tanzania is operating much differently than the rest of the world. Okay? Now, I'm not here to disclaim his profession. He may absolutely be right. One thing's for sure. There's something to see here. There's something to see here. But by all means, don't follow America's lead, because she will lead you astray. After being back for 7 months, I am more convinced than ever before that America needs revival. The only hope for America is Jesus. It's not Donald Trump. It's not the Democrats. It's not Republicans. It's not politics. It's Jesus. The church in America, some say it's being persecuted. I don't believe that. I think it's being challenged. I don't think the church in America knows what persecution is. Bunch of soft, sissy Christians think they're being persecuted because they can't go to church, but it's more important to be the church than to go to church. But more than opening the doors of the church, we need to open the doors of our hearts and experience revival in Jesus' name. Not just in America, but all over the world. And even as the ocean is coming out of a season of challenge, which, by the way, kudos to our leadership team, Effie, you guys have done an incredible, fabulous job walking through the challenge of doing church online and all that comes with that. To our media team, you guys are the best. You guys are doing things that no one in Tanzania is doing, and you're rocking it worldwide, and that's really cool. But the church has been a little bit asleep. We're coming out of a little bit of darkness. But I believe what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to use for good. Somebody say amen. And what we need in this season of the ocean, and what we need in this season of the church, is just good old-fashioned revival. Somebody say amen. The world is a tough place. And it's time for the church to rise. This is time for the church to rise. It can be the church's finest hour. The only hope for the world is Jesus. And many of us in this room, we know that hope. We know Him. But can I tell you, in the days and times that we live in, it's not enough to know Him. We must make Him known. The world needs to know. How does that happen? We need revival. Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. It's familiar for some of you. Familiar to read, hard to live. Bible says, If my people who are called by my name. Scripture's not talking to non-believers. Today, everything we read will be pointed to people who are already following Christ. So I want you to understand, when we talk about revival, revival usually happens among God's people. But we like to sit in church and think about revival being for those who are lost. Can I tell you, revival's for those who are found, but are still walking in darkness. How many of you know you can be found and the lights can still be off? If my people, and I love this if-then statement, because sometimes we want to avoid the if and only embrace the then. But when it comes to revival, we have to recognize the if. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and, oh, you don't hear me, will humble themselves and, man, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear that word. Because I'm here to tell you, even in the ocean, there is a prayer deficiency. I'm going to step on toes today, if that's all right. Not because I don't love you, but because I do love you. In the church universal, there is a lack of prayer. We're good at worship, somebody say amen. We're great at worship, but we don't like the work. And prayer is work. He says, if you will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. This next line. This is where most of the people who consider themselves saved turn away from this passage of Scripture. But what they need to do is turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. How many of you know that's my desire for the ocean, is that the ears of the Lord would be turned towards our church and his eyes would be faceted upon us. Somebody say amen. Revival. Revival. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. It's a bit of a dichotomy for some of us. If my people who are called by my name, if my followers, if those who believe in me will turn from their wicked ways, I will forgive their sin. How many of you know, just because you've accepted Jesus doesn't mean you're sinless. We've been forgiven, yes, but we still battle with humanity. That whole idea of sin is difficult for some people to reconcile after they've given their heart to Jesus. But the reality is, sin may not be the sin you had before you knew Jesus, but sin is anything that separates us from him. And if you think because you're saved or born again that there's nothing ever that's going to separate you from Jesus, you better be careful. It won't separate you from the love of Jesus. Don't misread Scripture. Jesus will always love you, but that doesn't mean you're close to him. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, but there are things that can separate us from Jesus. Be careful. Because sometimes we get a little too holy. You see, the eternal human quest has always been to know and to experience God. We see this in the words of David in Psalm 27:4, where he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple." One thing I long for is to seek the Lord. The Apostle Paul said this to the church at Philippi. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. He didn't say, I want to know Christianity. Some of us love Christianity, but we don't love Christ. He He said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead, being brought back to life, experiencing an awakening, revival. Somehow to be brought back to life. The eternal human quest is to know and experience God. Yet, all too often, as followers of Christ, we drift away from the Lord, only to discover ourselves to be further away from Him than we ever wanted to be. And this distance between us and God can only be bridged by revival. Can only be bridged by revival. I'll share with you a definition of revival that's given by a contemporary biblical scholar named Elmer Towns. He says, revival is an extraordinary work of God in which Christians repent of their sins as they become intensely aware of His presence in their midst. And they manifest a positive response. Everybody say response. I said everybody say response. Everybody say response. This is a perfect picture of what's wrong with the church. Because everybody wants to hear, but not everybody wants to respond. Which is why we lack revival. Says where they become intensely aware of His presence in their midst. They manifest a positive response to God in renewed obedience to the known will of God, resulting in both a deepening of their individual and corporate experience with God and an increased concern to win others to Christ. There are facets of revival that we must pay attention to. We want revival, but are we willing to do what it takes? Let's break this definition down for just a moment this morning. An extraordinary work of God, something not of the normal. Many of you experience the same Sunday week after week after week. This is your one interaction with God. For many of you, you interact with God every day, and I know that. For some of you, this is your one day a week. This is your one day a week. And it's the same thing every week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever feel like you come to church, you're watching reruns? It's like the same show next week, next week, next week. You say, Pastor Jimmy, that's not me. Well, listen, let me ask you this. If your walk with Jesus is the same today as it was last Sunday, I got news for you. It's the same show, different day. Same show, different day. Extraordinary work of God, one that is not normal. When we look at revival, revival always begins with repentance. We'll talk about that in a moment. It is characterized by an increased or intense awareness of God's presence. Are you here because you want to be here, or are you here because He is here? David said, "One thing I seek is to be in the presence of the Lord." Moses said, if you do not go with us. We heard this yesterday at prayer. Somebody say amen if you were at prayer yesterday morning. Amen. Only about four of you in this room probably. The rest of you, you were snoozing before the Lord. Which is one reason there's not revival. It's awful quiet, Dr. Brenda. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, God, do not let us leave this place, because how will they know that we are any different unless your presence goes with us? There has to be a positive response in renewed obedience to God's will. There has to be a deepening experience, both individually and corporately. Why do you think we have catalyst prayer? Because there must be an intense experience within the body of Christ where we pray together and we seek God together and we long for His face together and we beg Him to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And if we're not willing to do that, we will miss what Jesus came to do. I'm preaching louder than you're shouting this morning. We must turn from our individualism and realize that there is a need for the body of Christ. That it is important that we be connected and that we grow together. The last thing is there will always result from revival an increased concern for lost people. When's the last time you led somebody to Jesus? Think about it. When's the last time you led someone to Jesus? When's the last time you intentionally sought out somebody you know needs Jesus and you were the voice? Rather than just praying in your closet for them, because that's the easy thing to do, when did you step out and become the voice that led them to Jesus? Revival brings an increased concern for lost people. And if you don't have a heart for lost people, if you cannot see the city and weep like Jesus did, you need revival. In the midst of crisis, not only is the church magnified, but so is the lostness of man. You see, I believe that pressure doesn't just create character, but it also reveals it. And when time gets tough, you begin to see the true character of one another. I used to coach football, and our coach would always say, squeeze them. Because if you squeeze them, you're going to find out what's inside of them. If you squeeze an orange, what are you going to get? Orange juice. You're not going to get lemon juice. You're not going to get orange juice full of sugar, full of additives. You're going to get pure orange juice with nothing added. And so many times in a time of crisis, we begin to see what's truly inside of someone. And in this time of crisis, we see not just the great things about the church, but also the challenging things inside the church. And can I tell you, we need revival. Throughout history, we have seen great revivals. The world has experienced great revivals. In 30 AD, Pentecost in Jerusalem resulted in Peter and Paul and Stephen rising up and changing the world. In the 1300s, the pre-Reformation revival, who brought about the greatness of John Huss and John Wycliffe, for which we get much of our Bible translation. In the 1500s, the Reformation revival, which birthed Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli. The 1700s, the Great Awakening, where we find John Wesley, George Whitefield, and the great Jonathan Edwards. The 1800s, with the layman's revival, the simple layman named Jeremy Lamphere felt the need to seek the Lord. Revival breaks out, and that revival produces the great D.L. Moody. the early 1900s, the great Welsh revival with Evan Roberts, the great William Seymour, and what we know, Pastor Pam, as the Azusa Street revival by which the Assemblies of God came to be. Every great revival results in great people who come out and change the world. We need a great revival because our world needs world changers. Some of you in this room this morning may be the very next William Seymour. You may be the next Jonathan Edwards. You may be the next John Wesley or Ulrich Zwingli. The next Peter, the next Stephen could be sitting in this room right now, but we may never know if we do not seek revival. We may never know our full potential unless we're willing to connect to the power of that potential, which is a pursuit of a perfect God. Take your Bibles again and turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read this morning the account of Pentecost in the book of Acts, and we need an incredible Pentecostal revival at the ocean. Somebody say amen. To Acts chapter 2, I'll read to you from Acts chapter 1. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, speaking to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift! Don't be in a hurry, church. Stop looking at your watches and start looking to the sky. Wait for Jesus. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter goes on to explain to them what happened to Jesus, and you push over to verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? We hear your message. We hear what you're saying. What shall we do? The following is for you this morning. Peter replied, repent! Repent! And be baptized. Every one of you. Oh, that's powerful. For someone who had just denied that he knew Jesus. For someone who ran from Jesus. All of a sudden, Peter had experienced a personal revival. And had the willingness to stand up and yell the word, repent! And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and for those who are far off. And can I tell you today, you are those who are far off. Look at your neighbor, say, man, you're far off. The word is for you today. I said, the word is for you today. Those of you in the back who are still asleep, the word is for you. The word is for me. For those of us who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Somebody say amen. It's like he's speaking today. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. For those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What in the world would our church do if 3,000 were added to our number today? Pastor Pam, help us. Oh, there ain't even enough of those. We'd be in severe trouble, Effie. 3,000 were added to their number that day. Four keys to revival, and I'll be done shortly. Number one, we must recognize that there is a need. There must be a recognition. And when I say that word recognize or recognition, that word re means to do it again. To cognize, to think about, to have a renewing of your mind, another understanding of the fact that we are desperate without Jesus. Even as a church, even as followers of Christ, we are in bad shape without Jesus. If we are following him on our own, we are in desperate need of the Holy Spirit. If we are operating church without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are in desperate need of the one who makes things happen, because we obviously cannot. I did not come to be kind this morning. I came to bring a word because I love you. And some of you this morning, I look at your face and I can tell you're not happy. Because I'm not serving you chocolate cake. But it's okay. You can bet all the money in your bank account that I'm not drunk. I am as sober as a man can be. But we need revival. We must have a new awareness of our desperate need for Jesus. David said it like this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See, David said, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, let that be our prayer. If David himself would pray that prayer, would you be bold enough this morning to bow your heads and get on your knees and ask the Lord in your prayer closet, Lord, would you search me? Lord, would you reveal to me any offensive way in me? Lead me in the way everlasting. We must have a renewed awareness of the presence of God and the brokenness of ourselves. We are broken. We must recognize the need. Number two, we must repent. Somebody say repent. Somebody say repent. We must repent. We cannot go on living day to day satisfied, trying to please the world and the desires of our flesh while also trying to please the Lord by our Sunday attendance at church. Because attendance is not enough. We must surrender in Jesus' name. We must turn from those things in our lives that separate us from God. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You're either with Him or without Him. There is no half and half. It's full on with Jesus or not. And we must repent, every one of us. Every one of us. Just as Peter said, every one of you. Every one of us must repent of our sins, anything in our lives that would separate us from the Lord. Search me, O God. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And not only should we recognize and repent, but we should also return to the Lord. The book of Revelations, chapter 2, the church in Ephesus. It says this to the angel of the church in Ephesus. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. You have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. He's praising them. He's praising them, yet, in verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You're doing all these great things. You've persevered hardship, but you have lost your first love. Some of us do great things for the sake of doing great things. Some of us do great things to cover up for the bad things. Am I right? This mask thing, Josh, is killing me because I can't see your whole face. It's tough for preachers. I can't tell if you're really repentant or if you're just if you're really lying to me, Josh. How many of you know we have a tendency at times to do good things to cover up for all of our bad things? But he said, you have lost your first love. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Here's that word again. Repent! And do the things you did at first. Anybody remember the first time? Ain't no time like the first time. True. You remember the first time God captivated your heart and brought you to your knees? Anybody remember that? When's the last time you had a first time? Lord, take me back to the first time when I recognized my complete desperation and need for you. We must return to our first love. Recognize, repent, return. And the last thing we must figure out is the fact that when this happens, we as a church must resurge into the things that God has for us. There must be a resurgence of the church. A couple of months ago, I shared a series called Reset with you, the other side of Corona. Well, here we are. What do we do now? Now that we're here, now that we're on the other side of the challenge, now that we're on the other side, the church must resurge. We must rise again. We must move forward once again. We see what happens in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost when they're all filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Everyone was filled with awe. Oh, that we would be filled with awe this morning. Some of you are just filled with awful. You look awful. That's a horrible thing for the preacher to say on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Don't be mad at me, but look in the mirror. The joy of the Lord is not your strength today, obviously. But the Lord would have it that you would be filled with all of the great things God is doing. But you're content to be awful. God, help us. Help us to be filled with awe. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Why? Because every great revival results in people coming to Jesus. You want to know why the church isn't growing? Because the church isn't experiencing revival. You want to know why there are still over 4 billion people in the world today that need Jesus? Because the church is not experiencing revival. You want to know why there's over 850 unreached people groups on this continent right now? It's because the ocean's not experiencing revival. Let's make it personal. You know why your neighbor's not saved? Because you're not experiencing revival. It's harsh, but it's true. Because if we really had revival, if we really were on fire, if we really loved Jesus and we really knew that He was the hope for the world and we knew that we had the cure, would we not give it away? I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. Somebody in this room had the cure for cancer, you would be the first one to say, I have the cure. Why? Why would you say that? There's a number of reasons why you might say that. Number one, look at me, look at me. I got the cure. Or, as Miss Carol could probably testify, what's that cure equal? It didn't take long to figure that out, did it, Carol? Ka-ching, ka-ching, I got the cure. There's a lot of reasons why we would say we had the cure. But if you know Jesus, you have cure for the worst disease the world has ever faced, and that's the lostness of man. I've said it before, I'll say it today. You can die of cancer and go to heaven. You can die of hunger and go to heaven. You can die of disease and go to heaven. You can die of thirst and go to heaven. You can die of poverty and go to heaven. You can die naked and go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. We want to clothe them. We want to feed them. We want to give them water. We want to give them shelter. But are we willing to give them Jesus? Because that's the greatest poverty the world still knows, is the lostness of man without a Savior. The world needs Jesus, and the church needs revival. I'm out of time this morning. Hear me, church. It's time. It's time to bring back 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at the ocean. Posture ourselves in a place of humility. Turn from our wicked ways. Seek His face. And pray. If we will do that, then, and only then, will our Heavenly Father hear from heaven and heal our land. Would you be willing this morning to commit to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14? Would you be willing to say, I'm in, Pastor Jimmy? We need revival. If you'll commit to that this morning, I'm going to challenge you to stand right where you are. The greatest thing about Peter, when he experienced revival, twice it says Peter stood and addressed the crowd. Peter was willing to stand out. Will you be willing tomorrow at work to stand out? Everyone was sitting, Chris, but Peter stood up. How about you? When everyone's sitting tomorrow at work, will you be willing to stand up and be the voice? Some of you say, I don't know how, Pastor Jimmy. Revival. Revival. Heavenly Father, we stand here this morning. I am completely amazed at your great love, and I'm in awe of your greatness. And Father, as we stand here this morning, we are standing in a proclamation that says, Father, we will humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, and pray. And pray. Lord, I ask this morning that for those who are standing, that it wouldn't be just another time to stand, but that, Lord, you would completely interrupt everyone's day today with your Spirit. And may we recognize your move. May we repent of our sins, return to our first love, and may there be a resurgence in our obedience to you. And may it result in souls being saved and lives being changed for the kingdom. Father, I pray this morning that you would continue to work and move in this church. The greatest days of the ocean are still ahead, Lord. And we surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.